Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we are glad to be here this morning, Lord. Know where we'd rather be. So we look forward to the message to be brought. We pray that you will bless your message and the messenger. Lord, use it to reinvigorate us, to renew us, to revive us. And let us leave this place today more dutiful servants of yours, that we might honor Christ in everything we do and make much of Jesus in every day of our lives. And we pray this in his name. Amen.
A hand of praise today. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to preach this morning what I meant to preach last Sunday. I did preach this message out at Kenwood last week, and it's something that's near and dear to my heart. So let me introduce the message while you're finding Genesis 35. Genesis 35, God had called Jacob and his family to go back to leave Paddan Aram, where he'd been for about 20 years, to go back to Bethel, which is the place where Jacob had first met God 20 years earlier. You remember the story. I mean, Jacob was running from his brother Esau, who wanted to kill him for stealing his birthright, which was something very special to the Jewish people. And that first night away from home, Jacob was all by himself. He was alone. He was afraid. He had come to an end of himself, if you will. And it was there in Bethel, which literally means house of God, that he first met the Lord. And so God was calling him to return, to go back to Bethel. Now, Jacob and his family got up, they packed up their belongings, and they headed out to Bethel, but they didn't make it to Bethel. They settled in Shechem, which is about 30 miles from Bethel. And Jacob would pay dearly for his disobedience. It was in Shechem that his daughter Dinah was raped. And then Simeon and Levi, two of his boys, took matters into their own hands in an assorted tale of revenge and deceit. They mass murdered the men of Shechem, plundered the city. And so now Jacob, the setting and the tenor and tone of this text is Jacob and his family are in dire need of renewal, revival. Isn't it amazing where we find ourselves and what we find ourselves in the middle of when we are out of the will of God? Well, that's where Jacob was. And so, having said that, let me say this. The good news of the gospel is that no matter who you are or where you've been or who you've done it with, you can go home. You can go home, but you got to come to God on His terms. And so what I'd like for us to do this morning is to go back to Bethel, to the house of God where we first met the Lord. And I'm using this back to Bethel as a scenario, as a recipe, if you will, for revival. And the church needs revival. The meetings and stuff out at Kenwood were fantastic. But if God doesn't revive the church, hello? Jacob and his family's in need of renewal. They needed to go back to Bethel. And I want us to go on that journey as well. So if you have found Genesis chapter 35, would you honor God's word if you can by standing to your feet one more time? Genesis 35 verse 1, then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, the house of God, and dwell there, and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I'll make an altar there to God, and who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. So they gave Jacob all their foreign gods which were in their hands, and the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth tree. So the name of it was called Allon Bacuth. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name." So he called his name Israel, and God also said to him, "I am God Almighty." How many of you would say amen to that? "Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come forth from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you. And to him and to your descendants after you, I give this land." Then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. Father, whether we know it or not, everyone in this room needs to go back to Bethel. Take us back to that place, to that time, to that understanding of who God is and what God wanted to do in our lives. We submit to your inspired, infallible, inerrant, authoritative word for our lives. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. All right. If we're going to go back to Bethel, if we're going to experience true revival in our lives, that all begins with the principles of God. You've got to come to God on His terms, not our terms. You have to go to God His way. Are y'all with me so far? And so if you're taking notes, revival begins, going back to Bethel begins with the principles of God. Now, God had called Jacob to get up from Paddan Aram. He'd been living with his and working for his uncle Laban, and God's promises that he had made to Jacob 20 years beforehand had all come to fruition. God had given him his presence, his protection, his provision, his possessions. God had, and by the way, how many of you know when God makes a promise, you can take it to the bank? Amen? And so, are y'all tracking with me over here? Are y'all tracking with me over here? How about the folks in the middle? All right? So stay with me on this. We're going somewhere. So he says, "Jacob, I want you to go back to Bethel." And so Jacob packs his family up and they begin that journey hundreds of miles away. I wonder, where is your Bethel? Where did you first meet God? Where is that place? You remember where you first met God? If you don't remember when God first came marching into your life, hello, there's a problem. A few years ago, I was at church camp with 100 plus children down in White Bluff, Tennessee. And I got up early, way before daybreak that morning, and I decided to go back to my Bethel. I was first met God at Montgomery Bell State Park at a church camp. And I got up and I drove down through the gates of Montgomery Bell State Park, just about 9 miles away from White Bluff. And there, I got out of the car and I walked through the gates of what's now a very primitive camp and walked past the mess hall the meeting hall and down through the hollows and past those cabins we boys used to sleep in with the, you know, remember those wooden shutters that opened and closed like that? And then came out of the hollow down there on the hillside that overlooked the lake and the dock. And my mind began to remember the message I heard Dr. John David Lyda preach on the prodigal son. And it was there that I first met God. And as I walked across that hallowed ground, man, the presence of God just saturated and soaked my soul that day. Tears were coming down as I remembered how God had been so good to me and how He'd been with me every step of the way. And even when I was in rebellion against Him, God never left me. And I just fell on my knees down there at my Bethel. Where is your Bethel? It's good to go back there from time to time and remember and recognize how good God is. And so Jacob was to take his family back to Bethel. But, you know, sometimes we know what God wants us to do, and we intend to do it, and we have all the right intentions, but it doesn't get done. And as a result of not quite doing it, it's disobedience. Let me just say to you, some of y'all are here today, and you know that God has called you. He's told you to obey Him in a certain area, or He's called you to do something, and you know what that is, and you wanted to do it, you intended to do it, and for whatever reason, it just hadn't got done, you hadn't been obedient, and you're in disobedience today. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And it'll get you in hot water with the Lord. Jacob winds up in Shechem. Shechem, 30 miles from Bethel. Doesn't get where God wanted him to go to the house of God, and he winds up building an altar in Shechem called El Elohi, which means God, the God of Israel. He wanted him to build an altar at Bethel, called El Bethel, which means God is the house of God. God, the God of the house of God. Does that make sense? He wanted him to return to Bethel. And so Jacob had been disobedient, and he cost him all kinds of problems. But Jacob began to understand, you know what? I need to do what God called me to do. And so they get up from Shechem, and they begin to start towards Bethel. And then did you catch those principles of God that Jacob needed to apply to his life? Did you see those? Watch this. Don't miss this. Stay on top of this with me. Y'all ready for this? Some of y'all got the deer in the headlights look. If you got notes, jot these down. He says, verse 1, dwell there. That word means to settle down and be at home and make an altar there to God. And so he was to go back to Bethel and build an altar. Well, what is an altar? Well, an altar is a place to meet God. An altar is a place to get right with God. An altar is a place to make sacrifice, to lay some things down, to repent of your sin. An altar is a place to surrender wholeheartedly to the Lord. That's why God was calling Jacob to go back to Bethel, to that place where he'd first met the Lord. And he says, Jacob, you got to do things my way. You got to build an altar there, and then you need to put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. These are the principles of revival. These are the principles of God in returning to Him. Now, you say, well, Pastor, what kind of altar do we need to build? We don't need to build an altar because God built one on a hill called Calvary. All we need to do is revisit the cross. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart, what? Rolled away. It is good to go back to Bethel and revisit the cross and to kneel at the foot of the cross and remember how far you have come and how God has brought you through many toils and snares. Hasn't God been good? And so we simply don't build an altar. We go to that altar that God built for us. And it's significant here. He says, Jacob, you got to put away those foreign gods. His own wife, Rachel, when they left her daddy's home in Paddan Aram, you know what she did? She stole a bunch of her daddy's idols. Carved images, put them in her purse. I don't know what she put them in. And took them and put them in her tent. And then you know Simeon and Levi, scriptures tell us, after they plundered the city of Shechem, they had all these Canaanite idols. And so bless God, Jacob and his children got right with God, put away those foreign. Now Jacob did something that wasn't real smart. Instead of burying those idols under the terebinth tree, he should have burned those idols. Because you see, if you bury those idols, you can go back and dig them up again. But if you get rid of them, if you get radical with them, what did Jesus say? If your eye offends you, do what? If your right hand offends you, do what? And so radical obedience in putting away those foreign. What is an idol today? We don't make carved images, so to speak, today. But we've all got idols in our lives. Anything that you're more passionate about, that you're giving your time and your energy to over and above what you ought to be giving to God is an idol. Anything or anyone. And so we need to put away those idols today. And then, what is this all about? He tells him plainly, he says, purify yourselves and change your garments. What's up with that? Well, anytime you see somebody purifying themselves and changing their clothes, that's a sign of a new beginning. By the way, sin's like dirt. It needs to be washed away. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so, first, you know, I love what Revelation 3 and verse 18, we talked about this the other day on, you know, on that text on Laodicea. You remember that? And when we repent of our sin, when we turn from these, from idolatry and all this stuff that's keeping us from God's best, God clothes us in robes of righteousness. He purifies us. How does He do that? 1 John 1:9, when we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, some of us need to go back to Bethel this morning, revisit the cross, and let go of those things that are keeping you from God's best. Return to Him and get cleaned up. And by the way, God's the one who does the cleaning. You can't clean your... I've had so many people tell me, well, I'll come to church, Brother Cal, just as soon as I get cleaned up. And you know what my response is? We won't ever see you because you can't clean things up. Only God can. Only God can do that. That's His business. Let Him do what He wants to do. You know, and I've heard preachers say, well, I'll catch them and God cleans them. No, He catches them too. It's all about Him. Can I get a witness? And so if we're going to go back to Bethel this morning, we got to come to God His way. They begin coming. True revival begins with the principles of God. Revisiting the cross, coming to an altar, laying down some things, letting go of some things, confessing some things, forsaking some things, and making the commitment to live in radical obedience to God's call and command of our lives. I think that's why a lot of us don't really want revival, because we know there's a price that has to be paid. But can I just tell you, God's best is far better than your better. And you're good. Hallelujah. And then here's what I really wanted to get to today. There are several things that come along with going back to Bethel that are great and good. Or do y'all want to continue to bleed? Y'all want to hear the good stuff? Yes. Here it is. Don't miss it. It's all there for the taking. True revival happens. Going back to Bethel, when you do those things and follow the principles of God, you get the power of God. Say power with me. Power. Look at verse 5. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities. They were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. Now Jacob told his boys back there in chapter 34 and verse 30, he said, well, now that you guys have mass murdered all these men in Shechem, that news is going to spread to all the communities and the counties around us. And when we start out for Bethel, guess what's going to happen to us? They're going to wipe us out. They're going to be done with us. But did you hear what God did? When they began to make that 30-mile journey, that jaunt to Bethel, fear of God fell upon all their enemies. And nobody would lay a hand on them. And can I tell you, when you've been back to Bethel, all that anxiety, all that fear, when you've got real revival, all that stuff falls by the wayside. You got something that's got you shook up and tore up. You're anxious about something. You're worried about something. You're afraid of someone or something. I want to tell you, the cure for that is going back to Bethel. Hallelujah. We need the power of God on us. But it only comes when we do things His way. And then here's another one. Going back to Bethel, and you know what? You don't just get the power of God, you get the presence of God. Look at verse 6 and 7. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, God of the house of God, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. And I like what verse 9 says. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram, and he blessed him. You ever been around somebody that's got a good dose of Jesus? They have the presence of God on them. The manifest presence. And everywhere they go, they just, like Brother Shep used to say, they just kind of bump up naked and slosh all over somebody. You know what we need, brothers and sisters? We need the presence of God to fall fresh on us. So that everyone that comes in contact with us knows there's something different about Ethel Tierney. And there's something different about Mike Rainey. And there's something different about Billy and Carol Wall. There's something different about Greg and Sandy. And that difference is the presence of God. That's what we need. And you can't get it unless you're willing to go back to Bethel. And then there's some promises that come along with going back. How many of you like to hear and claim the promises of God? About 1/3 of you. Okay. Help me, Jesus. And God said to him, verse 10, your name is Jacob. You shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. Now, y'all understand what's going on there? The name Jacob means conniver, supplanter, cheater, control freak. And he said, you're no longer going to be called by that name. You're going to be called Israel, a prince with God. Woo! Jacob, right then, got a name change from God Almighty. He went from being a pauper to a prince. And that's what God will do for you. Did you know that the scriptures call us kings and priests? Kings and priests. And I guess there's a few queens too. But you're somebody if you're in Christ. Have mercy. And you know what? God wants us to live above our circumstances. And you can. He has promised us. If you'll serve me and surrender to me, I'll supply every need you've got according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. He'll guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, if you'll acknowledge Him, He will make your path straight. He will direct your path. He'll lead your way. There's so many promises of God in the Scriptures, but you've got to be willing to come to God His way, and when you do, you get to claim all those promises in the Scriptures. By the way, He wants you to be full. He wants you to have joy unspeakable and be full of glory for His honor and praise and glory. Oh, I could spend about 30 more minutes on the promises of God. But there's one final thing I want you to wrap your heart around. Going back to Bethel, getting a good dose of revival brings the praise, brings praise to God, praise for God. Look at this. Watch this. Don't miss this. So Jacob, verse 14, set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. Two very significant things. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, House of God. Now, 20 years before, Jacob had set up a pillar. You remember that ladder that extended from earth all the way into heaven, and those angels and were ascending and descending and all that in that vision? Well, here, God didn't just appear to him in a vision. He came to him and spoke with him. Greg Lee took me to visit a buddy of his who's just got a few days to live yesterday. And I began to talk to him immediately about his relationship with God. We talked about his, you know, his Bethel experience. And then he told me something kind of, it perked my interest. He said, God talks to me. That's what he did with Jacob here. How many of you know that from time to time God just whispers sweetly, His Spirit to your spirit? Whew. And when He does, you have the opportunity to give God praise. Notice what He does. He builds a pillar of stone. Not only does He build this altar and make sacrifice, but He builds a pillar of remembrance. And He does two things on that pillar of stone. He anoints it with oil. Now, oil is symbolic of who? The Holy Spirit. Anytime you see oil being poured out, that is a sign and the symbol of the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. And so He anoints that pillar with anointing oil, olive oil, and then He gets a wine skin of wine, and He pours it on that. Now, oftentimes when a worshiper brought a sacrifice, the priest would lay that sacrifice, that burnt offering, the whole animal, not a sin offering, but a burnt offering, up on the altar, whole. And then that offering would begin to go up to the Lord. And oftentimes the worshiper, as a sign of full surrender, would give that priest a skin of wine, and the priest would pour that skin of wine as a drink offering on top of the burnt offering. And then, man, that would put up a marvelous steam and fragrance to the Lord. And that was a sign that the worshiper had completely and fully surrendered to the Lord. You want to know what gives God praise? When we surrender to Him in repentance and commit to radical obedience in our lives to Him. That brings God glory. And that's right where we are today. I'll admit to you, I'm kind of selfish. I am. I don't just want to see Jacob and his family experience Bethel in all its full. I want Second Mile Church to experience Bethel in all of its fullness and all of its power. And I've had to learn over the years, I can't work that up. Only God can do that. I'm just the mailman. I'm just the delivery boy. I'm just the mouthpiece. But some of you are here and you know, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And you need to go back to Bethel today. Say, well, Pastor, I don't know that I've ever even been to Bethel. Guess what? You can go to Bethel for the first time today. And you've got to come with that same spirit the brokenness and repentance. You got to come to Him His way. And if you'll surrender to Christ as your only way and means and hope of salvation, God will save you right where you are today. He'll do that. But I think the vast majority of us in here have a relationship with God. But I also think a lot of us need to return to Bethel and get a good dose of Jesus today and a spirit of renewal and revival. Would you bow your heads with me as our musician comes and our Father, forgive me of things I didn't say that I should have said. Forgive me of saying the things I said that I shouldn't have said. But Lord, you're bigger than any preacher, that's for sure. And your word is what really matters. And your spirit is right here with us. And so, Father, as we surrender our hearts and lives anew and afresh this morning, oh God, would you help us to recognize that we can go back home, that we can go to Bethel, and you can revive us and give us these great revival promises. But Lord, we can't do that unless you're in it with us. And so would you give us the courage and the faith to do what your word tells us to do this morning? It's been the prayer of my soul and my spirit for 3.5 years that we'd be so full of the Spirit here and so renewed and so refreshed that we'd storm the gates of hell in Clarksville, Tennessee. Oh God, our community needs Jesus. But it's got to begin with us. Now, if you're here, I know what you're thinking. If I get up and come forward, somebody will think that I've done something wrong. Guess what? We're all in that boat. Every single one of us have done things that are wrong and not right with God. It doesn't matter what somebody else might think. People are always going to say stuff. What matters is God speaking to your heart today. And if He is, you come to this old-fashioned altar and revisit the cross today and get right with those things God wants you to get right with and commit to a lifestyle of obedience. Do that today. We'll have deacons and counselors and anybody you need here. I'll be here to pray with you, pray over you, answer any questions you may have. Father, give us the obedience today to do what you're calling us to do. May this church go back to Bethel. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.